Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays. You're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like? Because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora. He's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than 88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, boy in 3K can make one of them. Yeah. Ooh, I'll be here for that.
Yeah.
I'll be here for that. Ooh.
If we can pull him out of the rock he's hiding under.
Yeah, man.
Look, so bring the flute.
That's all I want to hear about.
Bring the recorder, all that stuff. What'd you say?
Yeah, that's only pulling out I want to hear about. Cause other than that, baby, we need to be, you feel me? We need to be locked in, you know what I'm saying? But,
oh, shit.
Oh, man, I feel like this is a good place to start. This is a good place to start the episode. It's a great place to start the week off. You know, I think at this point, if you know the voice, then I mean, you know the hairline. You know it's me, it's Mari. It's the society on Slick. We back in the building. And when I say we, that means it's me and it's B. Chill, I was going to give y'all a couple. I'm going to let y'all, you know, you got
oh,
it.
Oh, we were going to get a little bit of M Holla.
That's the Patreon, man. We're going to give you the Patreon later. Yeah, right. We're going to talk. Yeah, they got to pay for that. You feel what I'm saying? But I'm here with B. B, what's up, man?
What's good? Queen B from the South, baby. Watch your mouth. We out here. It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, man. Tuesday. Oh, man. Glorious Tuesday. Tuesday is a great day. It really is. It's one of those days where it's like, all right, I got through Monday. Tuesday is here now. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Tomorrow is hump. You know what I'm saying? Tuesday is a very optimistic day. I think it's an underrated day of the week, to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, and then we drop as well. So, you know, why not?
I was waiting on that part.
Hey, you knew that was coming. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, listen, if you are not following us at this point, go ahead and fix that right now. We won't judge you. You can follow us on Twitter at Slick Sports, SLIC. You can also follow us at Slick Society Pod. Instagram, you can follow us at Slick, just SLIC, and follow us at The Society Podcast. We are out here. We're in the building. It's powered by Baron Davis. Shout out to BD. In case you guys didn't catch the last episode, there's a major beat battle coming up. Because, you know, it's been a lot of Coast talk, a lot of West Coast, a lot of East Coast talk. But we talking about beat battles. We're not talking about nothing violent, nothing crazy. You know, they usually do the basketball things. Now they doing the, you know, the beat battle. Shout out to Poops, you know, shout out to Yonkers and all that, gang, gang. And, you know, that's coming up on August the 20th. You can stream that on Caffeine for the free ski. The EST free, you feel me? Tap in with us, man. You know what I mean? Download the Caffeine app. Follow us on there. Tap in August 20th, man. But yeah, we here. We here to talk, B. We here to talk, man. I'll let you decide where we start this week, man. What you want to start off with? How you feeling?
5 under 5.
The 5 under 5.
You know, I love doing this because, you know, it makes me feel alive. And speaking of feeling alive, staying alive.
Yes.
We got DJ Khaled with the new track with Drake and Lil Baby. Yo.
Damn it, B.
So, I didn't even say anything. So, go ahead. No. I want to hear what you got to say about this song. Because I don't want it to be me this time. I don't want you to think I'm a hater, a Drake hater, whatever.
No.
Let's hear it.
Here's the thing about DJ Khaled, right? Shout out to DJ Khaled. Shout out to Khaled. Like, I'm very happy when I see, you know, the creators get the creator at a high level and be great. Shout out to Khaled. I just think that Khaled is way more in love with the moment and not as in love with the music. Because it's like, the moment is like, oh, man, I just got Janet Jackson and fucking Jesus on a song. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, on paper, that's like, ooh, that's the one. But then when you hear it and you like, I guess I'm supposed to like it because you got these two people on it. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like the Stayin' Alive joint, as much as I love Drake and I love Lil Baby, I think he's a very much, I think he's underrated still, even though he's reached like superstardom. I think there's still a weird way where he's like underrated. I love him. Mm-hmm. He's a professional rapper. Like, he just gets it. The guy does like a lot of give backs and, you know, he bought out the mall and shit, and you know, I want to applaud him. Let me take the time right now to applaud him. Absolutely. He does a lot of great things for the community. He's not just a guy who, you know, is just content with just making this money and, you know, having a certain status. He's giving back to people who don't have it, and, you know, it's all for the free, you know. So shout out to Lil Baby. I just feel like I'm not going to shit on the song too much. It's not a bad song. It's just kind of lazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just one of those songs where it's like, okay, yeah, like, I saw the title of it, and I was like, damn, okay, what is this gonna be? I don't know what it's gonna be. So I get it. I get the sample, you know, the Stayin' Alive. That's cool. It's cute. But I just think that it's a lazy song. Again, I'm not shitting on the song. I'm not saying it's a bad song. But, like I say on here all the time.
But it's a bad song, Mari.
Oh, shit.
It's a bad song. That shit is boring.
Damn. I didn't want to go ahead. But you
look, I'm a huge BG's fan. So anything like it might have a little hint of a 70s sample or something, I'm like, okay, cool. And even looking at the cover art with DJ Khaled, like the suit he had on, I'm like, is he trying to give us some disco?
Oh,
like,
yeah, man.
And so I open title and I see it's the first thing right there, right after Beyonce. It's like Stayin' Alive. I'm like, okay, let me press play. I got my headphones on, so let me check out the tunes. And that shit was so underwhelming.
Yeah, that's a perfect word for underwhelming.
It was underwhelming, and I'm like smoking. So I just decided, like, I'm going to record like a reaction video. And I was so bored in the reaction video. Like, it got no reaction out of me. Yeah. The only thing that really stood out was that Drake still isn't giving us anything new. Drake, you talking about the same shit, my guy. Like, I'm over it.
I'm on the record as saying, like, I hope and I wish that, like, Drake would just give us, like, 10 songs with The Alchemist or fucking, you know, like, somebody like that. Like, just give us some shit to where we can just hear you rap. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about none of the other dumb shit. I don't want to hear about how your biggest problem right now is, like, your left wrist go kind of numb sometimes because of the diamonds you wearing and shit. I don't want to. I get it. I do. I want to hear that sometimes for sure. But I just think I'm with hearing them over, like, something different. So, again, like I said, like, to me, I can completely understand when somebody say they don't fuck with the song at all. That's perfectly fine. I have not listened to that song again since I heard it the first time. So, again, like I told you before, I won't turn that off, but I'm not going to turn it on either. So, you know, that's just kind of where it's at for me.
I'm just really annoyed with people who talk about DJ Khaled as if he's, like, fucking Quincy Jones.
As if he's like
Quincy Jones right now could put Drake and Lil Baby on the song and it would be better than this shit.
No, 1,000%.
Right now.
I mean, it's like, my thing is, I feel like, you know, DJ Khaled does the music, or let me say it like this. Calvin Harris does the music that people think DJ Khaled does. Like, putting people together, like putting artists on the songs together and making an album. Calvin Harris has this shit on lock. Like, because the shit that he puts together, the collaboration that he puts out there, you're looking at it and from afar, you're like, wait a minute, how is this gonna work? Like, okay. And then you hear it, and it's like, this nigga got Seven Streeter and Yo Gotti and Elton John on the song, like, huh? And then you hear it and you're like, oh, this make perfect sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at with that, man. You know.
Yeah. Speaking of, I guess, the likes of DJ Khaled, we have Irv Gotti on Drink Champs.
Boy.
And so you said, you know, you want to kind of talk about this a little bit. Here's the thing with Irv Gotti. I cannot sit through an interview with him. It's something about him that just, like, he makes me itch.
Yeah.
I can't, like, listen to a full interview with this guy. Big scaring the whole energy. Oh my god, like, he literally is like nothing but dry pussy around. Like, please, nigga, shut up.
The other shit that he's in the headlines for right now, that's a different episode of the society. That's a whole different episode. But what I want to talk about here was, you know, sports betting is huge right now in our culture, bigger than it's probably ever, or it's more mainstream than it's ever been. I won't say it's bigger than it's ever been because it's been around since the beginning of the time, right? But he told this story on Drink Champs where he said Steve Francis walked in. Shout out to the franchise. He walked into the interview. He dapped everybody up.
That's right.
And, you know, Irv was like, yo, I'm going to tell a great Steve Francis story. Immediately, Steve Francis was like, which story are you talking about, big bro? And he was like, no. It ain't going to be. And he was like, all right, cool. So I thought that was funny. I thought that was, like, fucking hilarious. Because he was like, wait, which one? Where are we going with this? There's cameras on, my boy. They can hear you. But. He basically told a story where he was like, he went in there. It was the Rockets playing the Warriors. This is a young Gilbert Arenas, right? Gilbert Arenas with the fro. And he was like, yeah, man, he was a rookie. And, you know, we bet like 175 racks on the game. And, you know, the line basically was, it was -8. For those who don't know, the Rockets were -8.
Because I don't know.
Yeah, so basically, I'm breaking down. That means that they were 8-point favorites. When you see the minus, that means that they have to win by more than that number because they're so good that they're getting 8 points. So the -8 means they already start the game off in the deficit, right? Because they're so good. They can come back and do it. You know how people say, I'll spot you 9 points and let's play the 10. It's basically like that.
I'll give you a head start. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So if the Rockets win by 8 points exactly, your bet is a push. You get your money back as you break even. You don't win anything. You don't lose anything. If they win by 9 points or more, you clear that bet. So it gets late in the game. Gilbert Arenas, you know, he's out there hooping. You know, Ketino Mobley is out there. Franchise is out there. Now, Ja Rule and them, they making it known that they bet on the game. And they like, yo, They heckling Gil. They, you know, Ja calling him Donut because he was wearing his zero and all that, you know, whatever. And it's like, all right, cool. Coutinho Mobley gets to the line. It's like 8 seconds left in the game, right? They up by seven. So Irv screams, "We need them both." And he said, Cat looked at him and shook his head and was like, "This nigga," basically. But he hit him. He hit both of them. So if you're following along at home, that means from seven plus one plus another one, they're at 9 point. You know, they got it. They the bet is done, right? 8 seconds left in the game. The bet is done. This is the part where people come out. They dribble the ball inbounds just so they don't get the violation. They shake hands. They go home. It's cool. So they on the sideline slapping high fives and probably popping ecstasy or whatever they doing. And a young Gilbert Arenas says, "Oh, I heard you niggas talking. So what he do? I'm going to just dribble the ball up past half court, fire up a meaningless three, and hit it." So if you're still following at home, 9 points, minus three, 8, 7, 6. Over. Fuck them up. That bet is done now. They lost all that money talking shit to Gilbert Arenas. That's just the first lesson amongst many that Hibachi had to teach niggas. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. Just it was just a funny story because, you know, betting culture and sports betting culture is taking over so much now. That it's like watching these games, you be praying to the Lord, like, this dude don't take this last layup. Like, oh my God, bro. I bet the under and I bet them with the points. You better put that fucking ball away right now. Trust me, I done been there. I've been there many nights.
But even like listening to Irv tell this story, it's like already you're standing up. So that means that you know that the other people in this room has taken the attention off of you. So now you have to stand up to command attention. You know how so that everyone go. Is looking at you.
This is like 12. Yo. This is like 12:37 a.m. at any black cookout when your uncle was like, "Yeah,
you I know, lit.
Man. Yeah, niggas. Yeah, anyway, yeah. That Crown Royal bag really had Crown Royal in it. It wasn't just for change real. Or some other shit. It was the real deal."
But he's just so like unhinged that even getting through that 5 minute clip, I was just like, "Someone please put me out of my misery."
But I'll say this, though. Somebody who doesn't leave shit there when they should leave shit there. Yeah, man. LeBron James. Shout out to Bron, man. Shout out to Bron.
Bronny.
Now, this is not a new clip. This is something that just came back to the timeline. But I felt the need to address it because LeBron James does this thing a lot of times, right? Where I don't know if he's... Let me not say I don't know. I'm going to assume that he's in on the joke. You remember the one time when he was with 2 Chainz and he was like, "Hey, how about we put the album out?" Then, like a week later, we put 2 more songs on it. Like, fuck, you know what I'm saying? Give him like some bonus. So LeBron James created the deluxe album, right? Like, this was just a couple years ago. He created the deluxe album. this can be proven, you know, it's out there. And this time he was talking about his throwback clip where he was like, "I knew Kobe was going to score 81 that night. I knew it. Because I was like, yeah, this feels like that. You know, the raindrop hit me at an 81-degree angle," and I was like, "You know what?" So when you saw this clip, B, tell me what you thought. What was the first thing that popped into your mind when you saw this clip, man?
Why? Why lie unprovoked? No Why one lie? Said, "Yo, did you think that Kobe was going to have a game like that?" No, this nigga came up, "You know what? Something said, you know, before the game started, he's going to get like 70. What? The Raptors and the Lakers, you were going to tune into that? So you wanted to see Kobe drop 70 plus? Like, you had it? It was just on your spirit? Like, come on. Like,
That's the thing. That's what added to that game. I don't think people remember. If you weren't there in real time, you didn't watch that game, I'll tell you the setting of that game. It was a normal game. It was like, okay, Kobe's playing. I'll watch it. The Lakers are playing. Fuck it. Game started. Hit a couple jumpers. It's like, okay, cool. If you remember at halftime, it's not like he had 60 points at the half. We didn't know that he was going to do that. It was just a casual game. He caught fire and it was like, wait a minute, Kobe's not missing. It turned into that. That game had no indications that it was going to be an all-time. Like, come on.
He was like, I watched it. I watched it. And I was like, he lying. You did not sit down like, "You know what? Let me grab my popcorn. I got my drink."
LeBron James watched that game the same way LeBron James reads books, yo. Like, it'd be the first 2 pages. And it's like, yo, all right. Come on, Bron. I'm not saying that he, like, never saw the foot. Like, I'm not that. But sitting down to watch that game, I don't think even Kobe had the mindset like, yo, I'm up. Any given time, he can go for 90, 100 points. Like, it don't matter. He gave Dallas 62, and he set the fourth quarter one time. I saw that. I was more impressed with that because that game was crazy. But anyway, yeah, come on. Like, niggas.
Did you watch that game?
Absolutely. 100% I did. 100% I remember it. Like, it was just a regular game. It was just a normal game. The only reason I remember it now is because of what he did in it. That's it.
Right. And I remember this week because Kobe had, like, a string of games where he was just, like, you know, he was
all them 40-point games at 50. Yeah. He was going crazy.
And then it was, like, 81. It was like, oh, shit.
Yep.
But I remember I was in Charlotte. I was hanging out in downtown Charlotte. One of my friends who played with the New Jersey Nets was in town. And we had went out to the bar, and we could see it on TV. Like, oh, shit, yeah. Kobe is, like, he going in. But it made everyone stop because it wasn't like, oh, he's been hot the whole game. It was like third quarter, fourth quarter. Like, it just picked
up. That's when it picked up. Third quarter. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm like, come on, Bron. It's all right. Like, you don't have to be a part of every historical moment. Like, come on. Just chill.
The dude invented the deluxe album, man. So, hey, you know, I can't knock him. Can't knock the guy, man. You know, fuck it.
So I have a question. How do you feel about the way that Kevin Durant is going about wanting a trade from the Nets?
Oh, will you knock that? I'm conflicted on this because I'm very pro player and I'm very like pro, you know, take your future and your present even, right? Like into, you know, your own hands, right? Fuck it. Mm-hmm. What I'm not with is that like you formulated this plan a couple years ago. You had us all buy into, like, yes, you're going here. It's going to be Kyrie. It's James. And even if it's not James, it's you and it's Kyrie, and y'all going to get this shit done. Now, whether you win the championship or not is, like, that's whatever. I won't judge you on that. What I will judge you on is executing this plan or staying until this plan is executed. Because a lot of people looked at, like, LeBron when he went to Miami, like, oh, it was a sucker move. He did whatever. But that shit didn't have to work. It could have crumbled just like this net shit is crumbling right now. And I think that because it didn't crumble, we didn't understand the weight of it. We didn't understand how it could have went left because it worked. It went so right. Even when they lost the first year, when they won back, after that, it was like, oh, shit, this is the team everybody was scared of. You fast forward to now, the Nets team was supposed to be kind of like that. And so the fact that they're not, you know, putting this shit together, I wish that Kevin Durant would have not went about it like this because now it's like, you know, reports out there that he's basically saying, like, you got to choose now. It's either going to be me or the coach that I picked that we told y'all to, you know, we back this coach to because we won't play for anybody else but him. So I can't say that I respect the process of that part. I do understand. But, like, at a certain point, like, bro, we got to go out there and play ball, bro. I hate to sound like that, but we got to go play ball and let the chips fall where they may. But we can't turn around and then, like, just because we got the power, we can't abuse it and just start saying, oh, just because I ain't feeling good this week, trade me. Fuck that. Choose not. We, like, at a certain point, we got to kind of, come on, let's honor the deal at least, bro. Let's see it through at least.
Yeah. I'm same like you, pro player. KD understands that he is the prize. But at the same time, like you said, in a way, he's kind of like abusing that where it's getting to the point where he's going to be known for, like, if things don't go my way, I'm out.
Yeah. You can't go through a month of things not going his way without fucking up the team chemistry. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it starts to make me think, too, like, about those Golden State years. Like, what was the, until we see the documentary from that, you won't really know. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I really hope he gets what he wants and that it works out for him in the end. But the way that he's going about it, either he's going to learn from this or he's going to continue to kind of be a NBA terror.
real shit, man. I mean, we'll see what's up, man. I mean, shit, speaking of seeing what's up. So I got on, you know, Twitter the other day.
Uh-huh.
And I saw people retweeting, you know, these pictures. And I was like, damn, man. I remember a couple months ago, like, you know, they did this shit with Method Man. They photoshopped his beard off and shit. And I was like, damn, bro, niggas done took Hayden to a new level, man. They done just took the man beard. They took the man mane away. You feel me? Took the mane away. You feel me? So I'm like, damn. Damn. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, and I saw the pictures of Doja Cat and I saw people commenting on it and shit. And immediately, you know what I thought about, B? I thought about you. Because immediately I was like, damn, something got to be going on here.
In what way? What do you mean?
Like, there has to be something more to her cutting. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, Doja Cat, like, shaved her head. She shaved her eyebrows off and all of that, right? Like, yeah. Just, you know, one of those. And immediately I was like, damn, dog, like, I hope she's okay. And I hate to sound like the wet blanket, nigga. Like, I really do. For real. Because, like, I hate to sound like that. Because, like, I was just like, and maybe this is just me getting older. But I was, like, reading some of the comments and shit. And I was like, damn, bro. Like, I can't find a joke for this. Like, I really just hope that she's okay. Like, because cutting her hair off is a decision.
It's a huge decision.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what's up.
It's a huge decision. I will say this. My family and the way that I was raised, hair is a huge deal. Even if you want to cut your hair into a bob, it's like, why do you want to cut your hair?
You gotta have like a family meeting about that first. Like, yeah.
It's like, nah, you don't play like that. But my best friend, when she went into the military, buzzed it all off for basic training. Cut it all off. But she had always experimented with hairstyles and haircuts. Her mom always rocked a shortcut. So she would rock different hairstyles. She was the first person I ever saw before Cassie to like shave one side of her head. Okay. You know what I mean? It's hair. Yeah. It'll grow back. I just really found that kind of admirable to be like, I don't give a fuck. Like, it's just hair to grow back.
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah.
But when I saw that Doja, because I was scrolling on Instagram when I saw it and I just like literally stopped. And I was like, Doja? Because I was looking at her eyebrows. I didn't even notice her hair. Yeah, I saw that she had drawn like little red lines with hearts on them as eyebrows. So I kind of zoomed in, like, is this makeup or did she like shave it all off? And I was like, oh, all of her hair is gone. And I was in a room full of women when I saw this photo and I was like, wait, Doja cut all of her hair off? And one of the girls is like, yeah, she looks good. And immediately I was like, yeah, she does. Like, just having someone say like she looks great kind of changed immediately like what I had previously thought, how I felt about it. Because at the same time, when women cut their hair, it's a huge decision. And absolutely it's usually because of something. I remember I had a friend in college, she shaved all of her hair off because she had gotten so sick. She was just like, everything has to go. So she cut her hair off and was like, fuck it. She dyed it blonde. Mm-hmm. She was out here looking like Eve. Yeah. But it's a decision. Usually because something isn't like either it's a huge life change or something's wrong. But the next day Doja went live and she was like, you know, I tried to make a video a few times. I had to cut the comments off and just come on here and just talk. And basically she was like, there's nothing wrong. I just wanted to cut my hair. I never liked having hair, but also as a Black woman who is in show business, if you know, look at all the women who are in show business right now, everybody wears wigs. Mm-hmm. Everybody wears wigs. Oh. However, not everyone is performing the way that Doja is performing and Doja is booked and busy.
Right.
So this is a lot of hairstyle changes because there's been moments where I see her on the red carpet with one hairstyle. And then she'll come out and perform at the same show in a different hairstyle. And then she's back in the audience in a brand new hairstyle. And it's like, yo, that is a lot of outfit, costume changes, hair changes, real makeup. Shit. Like, you're just being touched all the time. It's always people on you, always messing with your look. Yeah. And in a way, I see it as her like saying, get off me. This is my body. Yeah, yeah. I'm tired of you guys messing with me. I'm tired of like always worrying about what my hair looks like when I'm in the public. Because even before she became like Doja, girls used to always pick on her hair. Because, oh, look at that wig she's wearing. She looks so cheap and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But once the budget got bigger, the look changed. And it was like, oh, she looks good. But we still don't know what goes on behind the scenes with like putting on wig glue. This is why a lot of girls have to continue wearing wigs because it pulls out your edges. Like it damages the hair to the point where you can't even grow it back, which is we saw Tamar Braxton shaved all that shit off. I can't. But as a Black woman, sometimes you just need a fresh start And I think that's what she's taking. She's like, you know what? I'm fine. I'm just sick of having to worry about this.
Yeah, so she only got the fucking Sean Elliott. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I ain't mean for that to be funny.
God damn. Yo.
I realize how that sounds now, but.
So, I wanted to do a quick Ask Mari, okay?
Oh, shit.
Real quick.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Oh, you know what? And I just thought of what would Bethany do?
Okay.
And then we can get to the main course. Hell yeah. Let's do it.
All right. So, if your lady came in the house with a shaved head, what would you do? What would be your reaction?
You know what I would do? I would tell her, look, hey, baby, look, stand right here for me, right? Stay right there. And hypothetically, in this scenario, I would have time to, like, have her sit there for, like, 15 minutes, right? And I just go out and I come back. And when I come back in, I got a basketball. And we got to play one-on-one immediately. We got to. Because you're trying to challenge me on a different level now. You think your hairline is fucking, like, it's got to be something there. So we got to play one-on-one. Not for your heart. We got to play one-on-one for the hairline. Because, like, if you beat me, I'll just go rock my shit however you had your shit before. Fuck it. But if I beat you, you got to go back to the you was like yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't going to do that. So, yeah.
So, think probably your lady needs to discuss any changes with her hair with you.
Well, yeah. On a serious note, I don't want to sound like, you know, like, oh, nah. You ain't about to get, you know, whatever. But I do feel like there's a certain level of communication that needs to be there where it's like, okay, hey, you want to do what with your hair? Okay, cool. You want to dye your hair blue or whatever, right? Why do you want to dye? Like, what's up? You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you just feel that strongly about it and I can understand it, like, you already my lady, so, like, I'm here to support you. So I won't really trip. I'm not going to, like, go crazy. But if I wake up tomorrow and you just did it without saying something to me, even if you was going to do it anyway, I would just like to be part of the conversation. Like,
okay.
You know what I mean? Because even with me, like, if I just went out and just decided to just get my hair cut, I'll just get a baldy like Jadakiss. Like, I ain't tell you nothing. Like, you ain't, you know what I'm saying? So now you invited me to some party or something, and now you pull up with some bald nigga now. You ain't telling you was with a bald nigga. You got to say that. You got to, like, announce that shit. You know what I mean?
I was in a relationship, and I made a hair change. Now, it wasn't completely, like, I didn't blindside him or anything. I let him know, like, yo, my homegirl who does hair, who is, like, a colorist and a hairstylist, she's coming in town, and I'm going to have her, you know, switch my look up. I think I'm going to cut it a little shorter.
Okay.
And I think I want to do a little bit of color. Now, it was a huge change for me to cut my hair. But then when she, like, put the bleach on it and my hair is turning, like, blonde, I remember taking, like, a video and I sent it to him. I'm like, oh, shit, like, in progress, like, shit is about to get real. And it was like, oh, okay, like, okay, she's really doing this. Because it was a long-distance relationship, so I had to do everything, like, via video and show him what was going on. And then when I did the big reveal, which was a short...
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodles is like,
yeah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
It was pinkish red. Now, looking at me now, imagine me with short pinkish red.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of that right now. Yeah.
It was intense, and it was a huge change for me.
For sure.
I did it because it was kind of like me getting rid of like working in the Vegas industry. Like you have to have like a certain look. And I was like, you know what? Fuck all that. I'm about to cut this shit, color it, like whatever. Like I'm really done with this shit. And his reaction was like, I could tell he did not like it. He did not like it. But he really like had a whole attitude about it. Like, I really wish you would have let me be a part of this. And I was like, I did though. Like,
I was about.
It's
to
just
say,
the like, fact that you don't like it. That's
yeah.
It.
I was about to say if you let me be a part of the process at least, cool. That's cool. That's what's up. But if you just pop up like, oh damn, hold on now, like I ain't know. You know what I'm saying? I ain't know you was finna pull up with the Luka Doncic cut. Like, my bad. Hold on. Like, what's going on? Like, if that's what she pulled up with. You know what I'm saying? If she didn't have that prior to this meeting and all that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah. No, I'm with that. But you did nothing wrong there. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you kept him part of the process. Like you said, he just didn't like it. So, it's like, bro, you saying the wrong thing. What the nigga said in iRobot? Like, you asking the wrong question, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you got to come on with the dumb shit. So, let me ask you this, right? Because I thought about this while you were like talking about that, and I feel like it's a great question. Let's say you wake up, you know, it's the weekend, right? You done slept in, you know, P, he chilling. You ain't really hearing too much noise from P. He chilling. He cool. You know what I mean? Well, you think he cool. You know, you think he chilling. Okay. And then you wake up and you're like, all right, bet. Like, let's get the, you know what I mean? Let's get something to eat, whatever. You know, you call him. You're like, yo, P, like, you know, what's up? Prince, yo, what up? And he taking a minute to come out, and you like, what's going on? Then he come out, and then he cut all his hair off.
Mari, I have experienced this.
Oh, this is literally better.
I have experienced this. Oh, this oh my God.
So now it, this ain't what would Bethany, what did Bethany do?
This exactly is this.
Another segment.
I got up one morning, my son, I could hear him kind of moving around. He went downstairs, fixed himself breakfast. And I came downstairs to check on him, see how he was doing, fix myself some breakfast too. And I look at him, he's just sitting on the couch, chilling, watching TV. And I kind of did a double take. Because Prince has always had a lot of curly hair. Either it's tapered on the sides, and it's kind of like a, you know, what they call it, the Duke starting five.
Yeah, for sure. The one and done. He got the one and done joint. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's always had hair. And so I kind of looked down, like, he looks a little fun. Like, what's going on with his hair? Like, did he sleep weird and his hair just kind of like matted to his head or something?
The Gumby shit.
Yeah. And I looked a little closer. He had a whole cul-de-sac missing.
Nah,
in
not
his
the
head.
George Jeff.
The it George wasn't Jeff. Skin. It wasn't to the skin.
All right.
But he cut a whole cul-de-sac
he cut
into
a whole
his head.
Indianapolis Colts logo drink into the.
Woo, yes. Goddamn man. Hoosiers out here. Like, I was sick. Because I just started touching his hair. And I'm like, Prince, what happened? He was like,
what
I
have you
cut
done?
It. And I'm like, touching his hair in clumps. It's still coming out.
Professor Clumps.
And I was like, what happened? And he was like, I wanted to cut my hair to look like Sonic's. You what?
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. All right, hold on, B. All right, now, hold on. Hold on now. You know Sonic got a special place in my heart. If you would have led with... He did this to be like Sonic?
No.
Nah, no. Man, because, yo, that. Listen, dog. I'm going to tell you this right now because I'm biased. But I'm biased. Three people. Sonic the Hedgehog, Garfield the Cat, and Eli the Manning. You know what I'm saying?
How would you like list. To grow your hair out to look like Sonic? How would you look? What does that even look like? What is that?
You want
to
know what it
look
like?
Go look
at that. Go look at that clip. This is what it's gonna look like. You know what
you
it's gonna look like.
You scarred me for life. You scarred.
You know what
me
it's
for
gonna
life.
Look like. You already know, man. But yeah, nah. I shout out to P for the ambition, and shout out to him for like seeing that and being like, "Yo, fuck that. I'm about to do this. Like this hard. Like."
He used some school
scissors.
Saw the
people for that, man. Oh man, that's because I can imagine that there was a point of this decision where he was like, "Nah, I can't do that. Like, mom's gonna be nah. I don't know." But then he was like, "Man, fuck that. Like, that's Sonic, bro. Like, I'm about to. She gonna see this shit and be like, yo, you lit."
<That's> See, honestly, was looking at me like. Like, what, you don't...
You looking like, nah, you like, bugging. Like, you ain't said that shit when Sonic had it. Like, what you mean? You
and
know what
so,
I'm saying?
So, my boyfriend at the time, who was also, like, with us, I went upstairs, and I just had to, like, come in the room and close the door, because I was like, yo, like, I don't think you understand. Like, Prince just cut his hair. And he was like, what? So, he goes to talk to him, and he was like, he said he really likes it. And here I am. I'm texting every barber I know, like, yo, can you get my son in? Because we need to fix this shit. Like, hey, hey, yo.
Yeah,
so, come fix it. But, like, he had to calm me down because I was just like, this is such a huge change. Like, I've seen kids cut their hair. They get gum stuck in their hair or whatever. Yep, yep, like, they cut their bangs and everything is fucked up. I've seen kids shave their eyebrows off.
Yep. My nephew did that shit before.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's tough.
I wanted to cry, but you know, shout out to Mark, my barber, got him in, cleaned him up, put a little part in it, you know, like Nas. I'm going to be real. My son did not like that haircut. He was like, I like what I did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But to his defense, mad niggas was trying to look like Sonic the Hedgehog back in like 2010. Roscoe Dash and all them type niggas, like, all them niggas was trying to look like Sonic. All them niggas had the little skunk joint down. Like, mad nigga. Yeah, come on. Like, we can't. So, I'm not just going to really knock P like that. I'm going to tell P, yo, that P stand for pioneer. You hear me? You heard? Like, perseverance, passion, pain, and purpose. You feel me? That's what that P stand for. Feel me, Young King? You dropped your crown, my boy. Here you go, right here. You feel me? There you go. It's Uncle Mari talking. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, it's just what it is. I'm gonna take enough of P. Fuck that.
That's
I ain't
cool.
about to be on it. Nah, it's P.
But we entered a new level of like hygiene and care.
That was a conversation right there.
I got him a do-rag, got his brush, you know?
Hey, as you can see, listen, if you need any tips, any advice, tell him holler at Uncle Mari. Just look at this. You see this right here? Another P for you. Perfect. Perfection. Feel me? You heard? It's more peas for you, man. Don't get me started, man. You know what I'm saying? Tell him holler at me.
Man. Shit. Well, he got the fresh cornrows for back to school, so we on some AI time.
Yeah, I seen him out here shining, when doing his thing. Do-rag work for that,
for
too.
For real. So I braided his hair up last night. He really wasn't feeling it because he's so used to having, like, his hair and his, you know, curly fro. Braided it up. Put the do-rag on this morning. I was like, look, don't take this off until the morning. He let me do it. Mm-hmm. It was like I, like, unveiled him. It was the most beautiful thing. I was like,
that reveal was so glorious. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you.
Yeah. Probably seen a golden light around
like
that.
Like the golden
shit.
Child. For real.
Yeah. Like when Will gave Carlton his Chictionary. You know what I'm saying?
I can feel the power.
Yeah, one of them. I can feel the power.
Yes.
We out here, man.
Oh, my God. All right, yo.
Hey, man, yo. Oh,
so, shit, main man. Topic, Mari.
Yes, let's do it.
Let's jump this off. What we talking about?
Let's do it, man. So, basically, saw this conversation, you know, floating around. Shout out to Hovain.
Yeah.
Shout out to your homegirl.
Mandy, what's good?
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Mandy. Listen, they had a conversation on their show about, you know, being phony versus just doing business, right? And I feel like you and I have enough conversations about what this industry is and what it takes to, like, you know, move around and shit like that.
In the podcast industry, the entertainment industry, all of that.
1,000%. Yeah. The politics of it, whatever side you fall on, right? So I kind of want to open this up for discussion for us. I think this would be a fun and enlightening mm-hmm. conversation for us both. It's about being phony or just being business. At what point does just doing business turn into being phony or vice versa? Like, which one comes first? Is it, do I have to be phony to get in the business? Or once they let me in the business, do I start being phony now? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just kind of want to talk about that because I got my own thoughts and views on parts of
that. I mean, I think when you're a creative and like an independent contractor, people who pretty much work for themselves, building relationships is really important and how you move around is really important. But there are a lot of people who cannot put fake shit to the side. They don't want to deal with people that have like maybe a bad reputation. It's like, you know what? I heard about dude, like he be out here moving funny. And so instead of finding a way to do business, they're like, nah, I'm just going to avoid that all the way because I ain't with that fake shit. I feel like personally me, I think just having to be a Black woman working in the entertainment industry, I have to work with fake ass people. I have to find a happy medium with dealing in business, period. Because it's like, if you don't, then you're not working. Because in every industry, it's some shady motherfuckers out here. But sometimes you're going to have to deal with these people. So how do you navigate the space? But as far as like navigating the space, though, I feel like if you don't have boundaries, then it's just not, it's not going to be worth anybody's time.
That's the most important part of what you just said to me, because it wasn't until I started working in like what you would call like corporate America that I realized that you have to. Jadakiss has this bar that I always love, right? And he said, you know, and I'm way better than the mother dudes, but I'm stuck with what I'm stuck with because I don't suck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I used to always look at like what his position was in the rap game and what it was just in the industry, whatever. And at that time I was just like, nah, Kiss is Kiss, you know, he's him. But when you really look at it, it's like, no, he knew, he saw the peak behind the curtains and be like, oh no, this is what's out there for me. I'm just not full of shit enough to be cool with the people I need to be cool with to get me there. So when he said that, it always stuck with me. And like to this day, you know, as a creator, like that kind of shit sticks with you because you're like, damn, man, like I know a lot of people who have done things that go against like what they believe in or what they believed in at some point to gain like a leg up, you know, or whatever. So it's like to see that is kind of crazy. But if you don't have boundaries, that type of shit can happen to you because you have to separate from like who you are. And that's what people mean by getting out of your own way, right? You know, a lot of people that's talented, but they couldn't get out of their own way. Getting out of your own way means you have to open your mind up to a different way of thinking. You have to take away kind of some of like the block mentality, a little bit of that when it comes to business.
Wait, this is what's the block mentality?
The block mentality is like, look, thy Styles P and them said, if I sell 10 of these for $10 a piece, that's $100. That's the block mentality. I need this. I need all of that. The business mentality is, yes, you did that, but we put you on this platform so we get this percentage and we get da-da-da, whatever, right? But right off the block, you don't know that. You have to go through a deal, a misunderstanding to figure that out, right? So you got to leave that kind of thinking alone a little bit to understand like things in business terms because how you feel and what's real is a different thing, right? Mm. You feel like you should get this. What's real is this right here. And you might not like it, but you have to be open to the idea of it. You got to be open to it at least a little bit. But when you get there and you start doing business, don't forget who you are. Because that loyalty that you have from the block, the morals, the values, the principles that you established on the block and from like your neighborhood and your group of friends, you need that to take you further. Because if people feel like you don't have a good foundation, they can take advantage of you. They can just tell you anything and make you feel any kind of way. And as long as you're feeling something, you feel alive. But when you come from the block and you come from a real environment, you already know what it's like to be surrounded by real love, so you know what it looked like. So that means you know what bullshit looked like, too. So you got to maintain a healthy balance. Some of your OGs might have told you, get book smarts and street smarts. They told you that for a reason, because you need to know what's going on out here in the real world, and you need to know what's going on over there with what they're trying to make you think is real. You got to have a healthy mix of both.
For sure.
Got to.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like mixed with that, especially... Like, again, being a black woman, it's like you got to play this game. It's very political. And a lot of people are like, fuck the politics. I'm a real nigga out here. I'm not with that fake shit, which is cool. But like I said, if you don't play along sometimes, you're just not going to get anywhere. Like, working in Las Vegas has been like one of the craziest things that I've ever had to deal with. A lot of times I've always been the only black woman in the room. And so, in a way, I have to represent for all black women because I'm the only, like, the only example they have right there in front of them. So, everything that I do, how every way that I move affects everyone that's, like, coming after me. So, I'm, like, opening the door.
100%.
So, setting boundaries has been the most important thing, being like, hey, you can't talk to me like this. You need to pay me like this. And the way that you've hired me to come in and do a certain job, let me do that.
Right. Yes.
That part.
All of that right there. Yes. No, that part 100% because like you brought me in because I caught your attention doing this. Let me do
that. Now let me do it. Yeah. But then some people will come in and be like, we only hired you for like a look. And then you, in a way, you're kind of like stuck. It's like, okay, well, how am I going to play this? Now that you know how people are moving, you have to either adjust or you say, you know what? This is not a situation for me. Me, I'm like, you know what? Let me find a way to make this work for me. Because if I find a way to make it work for myself, everyone that's coming in behind me can benefit from it. So a lot of people who are working in these entertainment industries, a lot of people are like the first to do a lot of this shit. And so we're still like in this learning process, especially in a podcast game. Like this is still very, very fucking brand new.
Shout out to Combat Jack.
Shout out to him.
Rest in peace, Combat Jack.
Yes. Because, man, yes.
Listen, a lot of this shit wouldn't be possible without Reggie Osei. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, I think you use the term code of conduct. Like you get into these rooms and you figure out how to work the room,
how to
100%. You learn the whole new vocabulary of how to move.
I mean, shit, look no further than LeBron James, right? Like LeBron James, I'll tell you the reason why the shop does well, and I'll tell you the reason why the shop hit our culture like a bomb, right? It was like, oh shit. It wasn't because of the guest. It wasn't because of like, oh, this is a brand new thing, talking things in a barbershop. You know what it was? It was LeBron James saying nigga. It was LeBron James cussing. It was real shit. Because we always see LeBron James as the professional. Perennial all-star, perennial great, just, you know, player. But he's a professional. You think that LeBron James really walked in there with just his talent and closed a lot of those deals? No. Mm-hmm. He had to present, you know, he had to go in there and play the game like we talk about, right? That doesn't mean selling out. That just means, oh, these people don't talk like how I talk where I'm from. So that's why that's what I say when I say, like, leave that part, right? Like, when you come in there, okay, cool. Let me understand that I got to go in here and speak another way because, you know, they don't talk like us. And when I say that, I don't mean like, you know, oh yeah, I Braxton P. Hartenbrig.
No, do you code switch?
Not too much. Nothing's crazy.
When do you code switch?
If I'm in like a meeting, if I'm in like a work meeting or something like that, I won't probably say I won't be like, nah, this nigga tight. Like, I won't say that. I'll be like, yeah, this sir, you know, this yeah, he's pretty perturbed or with some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, it's whatever. But I don't do it to the point where, like, you can't recognize who I am. You're still going to know that you're talking to Mari. Okay. It's just I know that I can be a little lazier with the lingo when I'm talking to my people, my niggas. You know what I mean? That the kickback, we chilling. We can talk a certain way because we come from the same place. Me and you can talk a certain way. We can't talk like that to somebody else because they might not know what the fuck. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. I made a conscious decision to like cut the shit. I stopped code switching. The way that I talk on this podcast is how I talk in every room. I might not say nigga, or I might like omit.
That's what I mean. Whatever. That's what I mean. You're always gonna know you're talking to me. I'm never gonna be like a completely, like I said, Braxton P. Hartenbrig. Like, it's not gonna be that.
Because
I'm just not
gonna
say some shit that I would say, you know.
Your flavor, your personality, the way that you are is the reason that people fuck with you. So
1,000%.
Why, like, cut that shit?
1,000%.
You know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and some people would call that, you know, being fake. But, you know.
But it's, like, nah. But the thing about being fake, though, is, like, what you do have to learn about this game, whether you choose to play it or not, is that not everybody is built like you, right? Like, I'm starting to understand that, and I'm starting to learn. I've had to learn that the hard way. Because where I come from, we don't call just anybody friends. And when we call you friends, we're basically calling you our family. Like, right. I have, like, legitimate brothers who one call away. I don't give a fuck if we're a million miles away. If something need to happen, it's going to happen off the strength of what we've been through and where we come from. So those relationships right there are whole sacred and near and dear to my heart. I understand that this industry is not full of people who give a fuck about you. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean. Like, I'm not going to probably talk to you the same way I talk to my mans because you're not them, and I know you're not them. It's just that because I love hard, I got to learn the difference between leaving, like, you know, the real life Mari and then, like, work Mari. Because, like, work Mari has to understand that you're full of shit and that you don't really mean what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? But, like, real life Mari is like, no, I know dudes who, we took the oath. We really here with it. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta know that you're not like that. But it hurt me to find that shit out about certain people. But it's like, you know.
You know what it is. I think when people realize that everything isn't about them, it will change the way you walk into 100%. Any room, period, 100%. How you deal with everybody. Like, there's times where, like, I even saw a tweet that was like, oh, if, you know, you just can't be talking to me whenever you want to talk to me. Like, I need consistency. I need this and that. But you have to think about, you have to put yourself in other people's shoes. Because I think this person was talking about, like, friendships and relationships. Like, no, if I, you know, you just can't call me whenever you want to call me. But at the same time, you have to feel some sort of compassion and have some understanding about how people work. That just because someone doesn't call you or reach out or do whatever, it more than likely has absolutely nothing to do with you and everything that are going through on their end. But even if someone is, like, deliberately being, like, shady to you, still try to approach it knowing, like, it's not all about me. But if you set enough boundaries and you let people know how you operate and how you do business, then you just reiterate, like, hey, I noticed that you was moving this kind of way. I wasn't feeling it. Like, that's another thing. You have to speak up because people ain't mind readers out here.
Absolutely.
When you call people on their shit, it means a whole lot. as far as like how you deal with people from that point on.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times it really has nothing to do with you. But when those moments happen, you got to like address it immediately. Like, hey, yo, I wasn't feeling that. I don't do business like that. I don't I don't operate like that. We got to talk.
And that's the point, because the people you love and you hold near and dear, you may not have to keep briefing them on who you are because they know you on a personal level.
Right.
So that's another part that I mean, like, leave that there because you know them on a different level than you know these people. You work with this lady for 6 months and you think she know your habits by now. But it's like, in reality, y'all work together. Like, it just is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, y'all work together. She may not. She may not understand completely. So you got to go into this shit knowing, let me not take this personal from people who don't know me personally. They know the work me. Let me give them the work me. You know what I'm saying? Like, what Kiss said? And you know the old Kiss. You don't know the grown Kiss. Like, you know me. Like, you don't really know that part of me yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, like I said, it's levels to it. I just feel like, even at my last job, like I said, you know, corporate America, right? I seen some people that were completely changed who they were. Like, I seen them get around upper management and just be different niggas. And I'm like, wow, bro. Like, oh, cool. Yeah. Okay, cool. That worked for you.
That worked I'm for not, you.
Yeah, I'm not that. So it's like, I'm not, I don't think I'm full of shit enough to be in certain rooms. So when I look up and I realize that I'm not in those rooms, I don't ever, like, I used to go through this period where I looked at myself and been like, damn, like, what am I doing that they ain't doing? And it's like, oh, I'm not that. Okay, cool. I can live with that. I can live with, like, I didn't kiss enough ass to be at that dinner or that lunch or that whatever. Cool.
Yeah.
But if you telling me it's coming down to pure, like, work ethic and talent and shit, that's when I'm going to start taking it personal. But if it just come down to, like, that's what I mean. Like, you gotta leave it alone. Like, you got to leave the block mentality home because, like, that's not the same rules they playing by. They don't care about that over there. They play by a whole different set of rules, and it's weird. But at the same time, it's like, that's just how it is.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's always been kind of touch and go with me. If I feel like this isn't a good situation, I feel like I've been, like, I trust my gut. My gut.
Yeah,
I've been through enough to know,
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Yo, my gut is right on this. Like, trust your gut and, you know, move on, or, you know, work with this person or don't work with this person. Join this company or don't join this company.
Pretty
collaborate
much,
or not to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, it takes a lot of heartbreak. I will say that, though.
Heartbreak, pain. It's going to take a lot of sleepless nights. It's going to take a lot of self-doubt. It's going to take a lot of wanting to quit the shit. All of it. But then when you start to understand that, oh, wait, this is a game. Like, this is a fucking costume ball. When you start to really understand that it's a costume ball, you'll start to really understand why I say leave that mentality where it is, and then, like, you know, understand that you're doing business the way business is being conducted here. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a person who you put your heart and your soul into this shit, your passion into this shit, you're going to be disappointed often in this industry, in this business.
Often.
Like, you're going to be. It's just that when you start to temper your expectations, that's when the disappointment kind of fades. It'll never go away completely because who you are naturally is like, you know, I got friends who we ain't got to talk for 2-3 months, but next time we talk, it's going to be like we never lost. You know what I'm saying? Because we've been 20 years, 25 years in. I know I can't treat these business people like I treat my home. I can't, because we ain't been through the same. You don't know me from the place they know me from. Like, you don't know me from the block that one night when the one shit happened and we had, you know what I'm saying? You don't know that. So I can't come into this meeting talking to you like you know that. You know what I mean? Like, I can't. But it's a hard transition to make when you're a person who really put your heart into it, because you get into a business where you realize it's a costume ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember I had a job. I was in sales. I was a fucking salesman, right? Like, and, you know, this dude came and he said some shit that was, like, so profound. And he was like, yo, you got to treat this shit like being an actor. When an actor go into that role, they get all the way into that role. That's not them when they leave the set. That's but they're acting because that's what the job calls for. So, again, take me at my word when I say leave that mentality where it is, because it's acting when you get to a certain point.
you know what I'm saying?
Like, you gotta.
I agree with that, but you know how you put it, like being an actor, right? That can also affect how you present yourself outside of work. So let's take an example with Michael B. Jordan playing Killmonger. Playing that role really fucked with him emotionally and mentally, to the point where he had to go to therapy and kind of like shake this shit off of them. So even in, I remember in 2018, I was working in bottle service, and being one of the only Black women there, there were a lot of things that I could not do like the other women. I could not goof off. I had to be on point every day.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is a job where I had to show up and be on point. And I had, there was no excuse for me to not be on top of my shit. Because if I came in and I slacked a little bit, that could literally cost me my whole job. So having to do this, you know, like you said, as a costume ball, having to dress up and play this character every single day made me physically sick. It literally hurt me. It put me in the I had to go to the hospital because I had severe stomach pains. I was like losing weight. I couldn't even eat because I was so stressed and affected by having to dress up for, you know, the people that I was working with. And it made me approach everything from that point on differently. It's like, look, fuck showing up as somebody else. If this, if you're not rocking with this, I can't give you anything
then
else.
Then I don't need to be here. Yeah, no, 100%. Makes me sick. Yeah. I left that job like a couple months later. You know what I'm saying? Because he said that. He said that shit and he was like, yo, you gotta, you know, maybe you're not the kind of person that's like in the mood to talk, but like when you get to work, like you gotta kind of be a, you know, whatever. And so like when he said this shit, I was like, I never looked at it like the reason why I'm not happy here is because like I don't get to be me. Like, oh shit. That, like I said, it was a profound thing to say. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Because I have to leave so much of what makes me me at the door that when I get here, I'm going to hate this shit because I'm a version of me that I don't even recognize and that I don't like.
You said, you won't break my soul.
Nah, dead ass though. Feel me? Like, for real. Like, it's just.
We cutting stress out here. We're not adding on to it.
That Beyonce album out, man. We ain't got time to be stressed. You crazy?
That's right. Look, that we out here man. Dancing.
She's showing feet and all that. Like, what are we talking about? What are we actually
talking
about? You
talk about feet. I'm like staring at titties. Like, damn, Beyonce. Hey, listen, shit. Man. You just wearing pasties. Okay, girl.
The duality of the society, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. All right, Mari, tell our listeners where they can find us again, just in case they didn't hear it the first time.
Listen, man, you guys can follow us on Twitter at Slick Sports, S-L-I-C Sports, at The Society Pod. Also, switch right over to Instagram. I know it was probably one of the last apps you used. I know, because that's just how it is these days. Slick, just at Slick, S-L-I-C, you know what I'm saying? And then at The Society Podcast over there. Holler at us, man. You know, tap in, send us shit. You know, let us know how you liking the pod. Let us know how you fuck with us. Let us know what you agree with, what you don't. Like, whatever. Just talk to us. We talk back, man, basically.
We talk back. That's right. And until Thursday, we out.
We out, man.